morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them they have always wanted to write. And I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as a part of their work. My co-host and the producer of Right Here, Right Now is Kevin Finn. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Dr. Tim. How are you doing?
I am doing great, all things considered. I've been up since 3:30.
Oh, how do you do it?
I don't do it intentionally, but today is just one of those. Just got to get up and get to work.
One of those 10 coffee cup days.
We're going to see so if it works out that. And the thing that has me concerned is we have a Business Radio X mixer at the end of the day.
I know. I'm really excited about it. It's over at the Concourse Grill, right?
Mm-hmm. And any of you who are listening live, and if you haven't gotten your invitation, go anyway.
Yeah, go anyway. It's at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Concourse Grill out here in Sandy Springs, or is it Dunwoody?
Sandy Springs. Dunwoody, Atlanta, somewhere
yeah,
down
somewhere,
there.
Somewhere. You can Google it. So it'll be
That's
a lot of
right.
fun.
That's right. Great. And I will be there. I will be there. So you want to strengthen your company. You have how-to questions but are reluctant to talk to anyone because you don't want to expose your vulnerability. And maybe you've decided to take the plunge and start your own business and you want some rock solid, been there, done that advice. Well, this conversation is for you. I have two guests in the studio with me, Angela Durden of Writer for Hire and Spencer Sterling, president of the North Atlanta branch of the Alternative Board. And I'm going to begin with Angela, who created Writer for Hire in 1992. She must have been 8 or 9 at the time, I'll tell you. Take my word for it. And describes her work as managing the life cycle of words. I like that phrase. She works with others to bring strength and clarity to and through books, graphics, videos, audios, and even songs. She knows the challenges of creating and growing a business. And before I bring her on live, I want to share with those of you who are listening, we're going to attempt something new this morning while listening live as opposed to the MP3. If you are listening to the live broadcast and have a question for Angela, email your question to whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com, and we will ask it. So welcome, Angela.
Good morning.
So what drove you to create Writer for Hire?
I needed to make some money, and I needed to stay at home with my children.
Those are two really good reasons.
Yeah, those are two really good reasons. I was dedicated to being a stay-at-home mom, but at the same time, one needs money.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were growing, and you have plans for the future and that sort of thing. And there came a point where the workplace was not suitable for our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I had to figure out something. And I've been a writer my entire life. I was born a writer. I will die a writer. It is in my genes. There is nothing I can do about it.
She has a pen in her hand as we talk.
Yes, I do. And the thing is that I had to figure out a way to monetize it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I believed all the hype. Go get Writer's Marketplace, pitch all of these ideas here, there, and yonder, blah, blah, blah. And I spent 2 years doing that. Lost a ton of money. Also had a lot of ideas stolen. They say, oh, that never happens. Yeah, it does, which is why I thought, why am I doing all the work and not getting any of the benefit?
Mm-hmm.
These were magazines that I read on a regular basis. I had been a reader for many years. I knew what they wanted. So that wasn't working. So I started looking around, and I said to myself, there's a lot of businesses that hire writers worse than I write. I'm reading this stuff. Big corporations are having these things, and I'm going, mm-hmm. These big corporations are not going to hire me. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't have a fancy office. I don't have a sales force. They don't want to deal with me because they may have thought that I couldn't do the job,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So I looked around and identified a need. What I identified was small business to medium-sized businesses did not have anyone to write for them.
Okay.
So they were doing a worse job than mm-hmm. the other so-called professionals. So I thought, okay, fine. So I introduced myself literally door to door. Email only belonged to the geeks back then. I mean, they were total geeks, mm-hmm. or corporate structure. Individual people didn't really have email. There was no kind of marketing like that.
Yeah, we call that the Dark Ages.
Yeah, but I actually liked it because there was a personal touch there.
Sure, there
you know?
Was. Sure
so
there was.
From that is how I found the need. And then little by little, as word spread mm-hmm. of what I could do, then I got my first corporate client. I was freaking out.
I'll bet you were.
I was. But boy, let me tell you what, I learned a lot mm-hmm. From dealing with it. It was the Nally Automotive Group here in Atlanta, actually. And I did stuff for them for many years. I'm still doing some things for them, but they've had some been bought out by a larger company. And, uh-huh. you know, those issues come into play in national accounts and stuff like that. And I'm back to being a nobody with
But you're always Angela with Writer for Hire.
Yes, I am. And I still do a great job, and I still do things. So business has changed from when I went into business to now. I can walk you through a timeline of 20 years of the landscape of my business.
But you stay current.
I stay current,
and you meet the express need.
Yes, I
do. I want to point out to our listeners that we talked about this a little bit before going on the air. You're the first really, in a way, direct competition that I've had on the show, and yet we're not really because we serve a different target markets. But the interesting thing is I have had other people ask to be on the show, and I give them the same answer that I give anybody, and that is, well, I always say, tell me how you fit the category of what we do. And that's particularly of concern to me for writers, because why would I invite somebody on who might take my business?
Exactly,
But, you know, you and I met first, and then I started the radio show or something like that. But
It
became very clear that you serve a whole different group.
That is correct. And yet we have something in common. And what we have in common is a love of language and the proper use of it. And by proper, I don't mean exactly where punctuation or those sorts of things are, though they are important. Punctuation is power.
Yes.
I taught that in some creative writing classes that I did for some third, fourth, and fifth graders for 4 years. That was just wonderful. Punctuation is power, and I understand that. But, you know, I know someone who's a slave to punctuation so much that they have sucked the life out of a story because they didn't understand when not to use that thing. And I think that that's something you and I have in common, that we understand that.
It is. Yeah. I do. The other thing we have in common is neither of us has formal degrees in writing.
This is correct. And I'm proud of it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a lot of people who have that formal degree who are a slave to convention.
Yeah.
And, you know, boy, when you read some of the classic things through the years,
yes,
whether it's in business magazines, whether it's in novels, whether it's in biographies or autobiographies, a lot of these people that wrote it did not have the formal degrees.
No, they
didn't.
But
they knew how to tell a frickin' story.
Yeah, they did.
And they did it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have the advantage of knowing both of my guests here, and I could see Spencer twitch a little bit there because I know what his background is, and conventional has not been one of his words, one of his practices. And so I know when I get to him, he's going to elaborate more on the same kind of thing. You
Excellent.
Take what you have and you work on your passion.
Exactly.
Don't you?
Yeah.
So you've written how many books?
Oh, written a bunch.
How many got published?
How many are in the marketplace?
Yeah, there we go.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are in the marketplace. Yeah, 5 are in the marketplace. Amazon, you can find them or on my website. I've helped other people to design a cover for theirs, and I also lay out the interior of their book to give them a distinctive look, because to me, words, you probably read on my website, I help pick, place, and produce the words. It's not just which words you use. It's how you put them on a page that carries power also. And because I'm a graphic designer also, I see that up front.
Sure you do.
And so therefore, when I see things that are laid out, I go, oh, man. So that's one of the things I try to do with books, is help people to know, you know, some people aren't that great a writer, and I know that. And I know a guy that wrote his very last book, he's very close to dying, and he wanted to get this one last book out. And it's honestly, it's a pretty good story. He just didn't have time or energy to ramp it up to that degree that I knew it could be.
Mm-hmm.
When I designed his book, I wanted to make sure that it was something he could physically hold in his hand and all his friends would be proud to see.
Oh, that's great.
So that when they did read the story, even though there's some things lacking and it could have been better,
mm-hmm.
as a package, it's going to do well for him. And it's gonna be something he can be proud of, and I wanted him to be
sure.
proud.
Well, one of the things you lift up there is the importance mm-hmm. of cover design. And I hasten to say to people all the time, just because you know a graphic designer does not mean that that graphic designer is good at doing book covers.
Absolutely. That's true. So true. And just like a line editor is not a developmental editor.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different kinds of editors. There's all kinds of different graphic designers.
Mm-hmm.
There's graphic designers I know that I look at them, their stuff, and I say, what did they come up with that idea? But it's because they're functioning in a different market with a different end result that I've not
sure.
done.
Sure.
I would never have come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with covers. There's some, like, bodice rippers. Don't even get me started. I will never design one of those. I don't get it, you know. but business books, children's books, crime novels, that I get and okay. that I can do.
Have you found it hard being a businesswoman? I know I grew up with both my stepmom and my mom started their own company, and it was twice as hard for them to make it in the business world and have their own business just because they were a woman. Has that been difficult for you?
Well, yes, but see, here's the thing. That's pretty much the way of the world. I had a man tell me the other day in a business meeting, it was just he and I, and he hastened to inform me, as a Southern, he's not a Southern man, and a Southern man would never do this. I will not tell you where he's from, but you will more than likely get it as soon as I say. He goes, Angela, you need to understand this is a man's world. And I went, yes, I know. Thank you. So moving on. But the point is, I don't really care. Instead of, I don't worry about the barriers in the way. I pretty much try to go around them. And I'd go around them as best I can. And I feel like if a lot of women would just do that and mm-hmm. stop whining, then they too will move forward. This whining mentality, I could do 2 hours on that, so I will stop right now.
Well, you sound like you're ahead of the game. So.
Yeah, but you have a book about that too, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. It's a book called Opportunity Meets Motivation, and this is the book that when
we are going to offer free, autographed even, and what you have to do is the first person who emails me at tim@ WHWNBusinessRadioX@gmail.com and says, I want Angela's book. You get it. And look, if you're listening to the delayed broadcast, as it were, the MP3, don't think that you can't still be first.
That's
so
true.
Just send it in, and you'll get a copy of the book. So talk about the book a little bit.
The title of the book is Opportunity Meets Motivation, which, by the way, I will have to go on the record as saying I hate it.
Your title?
The title. It was not my idea. I came up with several others that I really enjoyed more, but this was a book representing more than just me.
Okay.
There was three other women, and together we told a 360-degree story of the different ways of getting into business for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I had to bow to them. And when those three told me that of all the titles that were in the list, and the list was yay long, this one was the one that they liked.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. And I went with it. And I'm not unhappy with it. Like, I don't think it's ew. I just felt like the one that I had was better. But that was my opinion. No one else shared it. And I was happy to move on. And you can see what's in print. Opportunity Meets Motivation.
There it is.
But
there
what
it
it's
is.
About is the stop whining and move on and getting over that. And then how we each did it. What our hurdles were. We all had individual stories. And,
mm-hmm.
and then at the backside of the book is some very, I don't want to call it super detailed, but it's very upfront answers to questions for people who want to go into business.
Oh, great.
Things that you should think of first before you think of whether or not you should be incorporated, even though we do cover that. And there's
mm-hmm.
several sections that deal with these things. Think about these things.
Yeah.
And you may decide you don't want to be in business for yourself.
No, your focus currently is more on songs and lyrics, isn't it?
Well, I am pushing hard into that, I will tell you. I still have my customer base, and mm-hmm. I'm still servicing them. And, of course, if they send me business, I'm happy. And I will not turn it down. But it is funny how all of a sudden music became this thing. I've always loved music.
Mm-hmm.
I've always enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed the study of lyrics for the purpose of being a writer, learning more how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But this month, 2 years ago, music chose me in a way that I could never have foreseen, and I could not ignore it. And to ignore it, I would have been a very sick person physically, because it was killing me. So I paid attention, and now I feel a whole lot better. And
well, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But I am liaisoning with a lot of producers, a lot of singer-songwriters. I'm moving forward. I'm a member of the Recording Academy.
You've got all the credentials.
I'm a member of CSAC, which is a performing rights organization, as both a songwriter and a publisher. I've got ideas for moving the publishing side forward, representing part-time songwriters. I mean, there's a lot of business out there, and I've got to push hard on it, and I have been.
Great. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to people who want to write?
Read. Please read. You cannot write if you don't read. The reason you read is you're studying how sentences work together. One word impacts another, and how those strung together into a sentence impact other sentences, and how those paragraphs impact other paragraphs, so that you finally, when you string the paragraphs together, you have a chapter, and those chapters put together now make a book. Now, it sounds awfully complicated. It isn't. But it is a craft, and it is something you have to work at. And unfortunately, in our feel-good society, people think, "Ooh, I have a thought, and it's creative, and it's perfect as it is because I feel good about it." Boo hoo! Get over it when nobody buys it. Because let me tell you something.
Don't hold back here.
I shan't. The thing is that just if you read it to your relatives and they go, "We love it." Well, yeah, your relatives are going to say that because they got to sit at the dinner table with you or go to bed with you that night.
Thank you for saying that, because I had to deal with that with a client last night.
Yes,
literally.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Well, I need to move on, but if people want to be in contact with you, ask you about your business, your writing journey, Angela, what's the best way to be in touch?
The best way, all contact information can be found at my website, and that is, of course, the triple W at the front, Angela Durden, that is AngelaDurden.com. Facebook, Twitter.
It's all
phone
there.
Number, fax, mailing address.
And a whole series of face photos.
There's a few. There's even some buttons on the side. Click on those and explore it a little bit and find out more about me.
So are you willing to remain with us while I interview Spencer?
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear what he's got to say, because his subject's fascinating.
Thank you. What a segue for us there, huh? Spencer.
I've had worse.
You're president of the North Atlanta branch of the Alternative Board, an international organization that is an exclusive membership-based organization that helps business owners achieve more profitability, productivity, and personal fulfillment. Spencer is grounded more than just in theory. His career includes over 35 years as an engineer and manager with Ford Motor Company, serving as an interim manager to return another international company to profitability and to identify its next leader. He has consulted with and consults with small and medium-sized businesses. And we extend the same opportunity with Spencer as we did with Angela. If you're listening live and you have a question for Spencer, just email your question to whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com and we'll throw it his way. Welcome, Spencer.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Okay. Tell us about the Alternative Board.
The Alternative Board is a franchise. The parent company is located in Denver, Colorado. The business has been around for 21 years. The founder is still the chairman of the company, and he's built that business from a single board to today, 250 franchises in the United States with 4,000 board members. And they recently, in recent years, moved internationally, and they're now building the business in five other countries. The Alternative Board is the biggest franchise of its type in the world. Now, what it does is it franchises suitably qualified people with a business track record to become facilitators for the Alternative Board. And they buy, as I did, a franchise in a territory. The territory is demarcated and is protected. The way of a territory is defined is that it consists of contiguous zip codes. It has to have, it has to contain at least 24,000 businesses of all types. Now, typically in a population like that, only about 4,000 will be considered to be targets for the Alternative Board. So that's the basic structure. It's a very well-established franchise. It's had feedback for 21 years from the field and developed a whole myriad of policies, procedures, and more importantly, intellectual properties that are specifically designed for small and medium-sized businesses.
Well, as a small business, as the owner of Right Choice Services, can I join the Alternative Board?
Absolutely. You'd be very welcome. And I'll tell you why it would be of significant benefit.
Why should I do that? Why should our listeners do that?
What we do and what I do in Northwest Atlanta is I form boards of directors, 6 to 8 non-competing business owners. The business owners are the members of the board. I facilitate a meeting of the board once a month. Over, it takes 4 hours. Lunch is provided. And the whole objective is that a small or medium-sized business owner now has a body similar to a board of directors of a major corporation that he can interface with, that he can use as a sounding board, that he can get contributions with respect to any aspect of business that he may be have an issue with.
So we're all in this together, so to speak, and we're helping each other.
That's exactly right. And the common thread that runs through all board members is the fact that they're all in business. And they're all facing the same issues in business, even though there are no two board members in the same type of business.
They're non-competitive.
I'm just curious, thinking internationally, Business International, there's so many different things you have to know. And I would think a big part of being part of this would be able to get that knowledge about doing business in other countries. Is that a big thing?
With some people. And when it is an issue, it's a very important issue. In my case, I lived and worked in 6 different countries, built businesses on behalf of a major corporation. And subsequently, in my work as a consultant, I did a lot of onshore-offshore deal brokering. So I've had a significant amount of international business experience when that comes up. But most of the time, what is important to the business owner in Atlanta is how to do business in Atlanta, how to deal with the specific issues that inhibit his business from growing, and how to create a strategic plan that will take him to whatever level he wants his business to be at. Every single entrepreneur wants to grow his or her business. Now, talking about the female gender, I was very interested in listening to Angela and her response to the question about being a woman. How did that impede your progress? I'm very fortunate in the business I'm in now, in as much as that the women that joined my boards are all feisty, ambitious,
the best
entrepreneurs.
That's the best.
And they have no fear.
Those are the best.
They are. And they are wonderful people. And in fact, when you, not only is it great for me working with them as their business coach, but and I haven't mentioned the business coaching part of the thing, but I'll get back to that. Not only is it great for me to work with them, but at a board meeting, I can assure you, the major contributions, the most enthusiastic contributions, come from the women.
I don't doubt that in the least. No.
Well, anybody who's married will understand that.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, right. You were doing good until maybe there. Now, I also know that you really don't have a business background. You've got an engineering degree you started this with, and then you got graduate. But how do you go from, you know, here's Angela who has no training in writing, and she's knocking the world apart with her writing skills. You started off as an engineer. Help us understand how you got to where you are.
Well, that's a good question. Yes, I did. I graduated as a mechanical engineer and always wanted to be in the automobile industry and found my way into it eventually and made a good progress over the first 20 years. But I hadn't been in the business very long, working as an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I did 18 years of engineering work, both manufacturing engineering and product development in the automobile industry. When I realized I was much more interested in the commercial side of the business than in the technical side of the business. So I took a sabbatical and did an MBA.
Uh-huh.
And then I got back into the business, and very soon, when I graduated to my first general management job, I was in my element. And from then on in, what I did was the issue of I chose to pursue a career where I could work with businesses in their entirety. Because when you work in a huge corporation, you work in one piece of it, okay? And very often that is simply a cost center, not a profit center.
Yeah.
Well, I like the profit center. I like to do battle in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. That is where my genes started to rumble, okay? So that's how I got into the commercial side of the business.
Idea. Being the young one here, do you want to come back at that?
I just wanted to ask if you had any advice for young entrepreneurs, people that are trying to do what you're doing. Just what one point of advice.
Well, let me just tell you why I'm very qualified to do that. I have a I have a daughter.
Oh, I love this story.
Okay.
I love this story.
I have a daughter who had all kinds of difficulties in school, in elementary and high school. We had a lot of difficulty with her. She was just different. We ended up taking her out of conventional high school and putting her into an art school, because there's a theme of art that runs through my family from my wife's side. She didn't do particularly good at that either. Anyway, she went out on her own, and then she just worked menial jobs. But one day, she met a lady who was very highly qualified in the world of aesthetics, estheticians, skin care. And this lady intrigued her and got her attention. And so she studied with her and ended up getting a couple of major international qualifications in the, and started out working as an esthetician.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Today, she sort of gravitated towards the colleges that train these people. Here in Atlanta, she became director of education and training in the biggest school for estheticians in the city. She was earning very good money, living the corporate life, and hated it. Okay,
I hear that all the time.
So she went out 4 years ago and said, "These people are idiots."
Sounds like her grandfather.
They simply don't get it. And I think I do. And so I'm going to go out and start my own college for estheticians.
Huh.
So she did. It was herself and one student in one room 4 years ago. Today, she's got 170 students. And I'm going to tell you how much money she makes. It's obscene. But she's a fully accredited, federal government accredited college.
Oh my!
Today, and she has a magnificent institute It's called the Elaine Sterling Institute. Now, this is a kid who was almost a misfit, who eventually found her niche and has made a huge success. She has doubled, and if you think of the compound effect, she has doubled her profits every year and will double them again next year. Okay? And I'm actually going to assist her from now on in because the business is getting too big for her to run it on her own. Now, taking that as background, if a young person wants to start their own business, first of all, that's got to be their natural inclination. I want to do it for myself. Okay. Secondly, you got to find something that you're passionate about. Don't try and enter a business that you either know nothing about, which isn't very hard when you're very young, but that really doesn't appeal to you much, but hey, I think this can make a lot of money. It's not going to happen. You've got to be passionate. You've got to be able to struggle through and say, I'm going to do this because this is my life. This is what I want to do. And that's the advice I would give a young person. And I would say to any young person that wants to start their own business, go for it.
I think you see that all the time is a lot of entrepreneurs and young kids, they don't fit into the normal system because they're different. They're better, but they get beaten down by the system. You see a lot of misfits do get turned out that could have been very successful if nurtured, if let to go do off their own thing. So.
Yeah, well, you know, Steve Jobs was a misfit,
yep.
And so was the Microsoft
Bill
guy,
Gates.
Bill Gates, and so on. Warren Buffett is the greatest misfit you'll ever
Ted Turner here in Atlanta.
Ted Turner, right. So. And these are the world's greatest entrepreneurs of our time.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the point.
Well, the question I ask of everyone, what part does writing play in what you do, if anything? And, of course, I always say if it means I write invoices to get paid, that's cool.
Well, you know, when you were discussing that with Angela previously, I kind of grinned to myself because, first of all, in terms of the franchise business itself, writing plays a huge part because mm-hmm. there's an enormous amount of information that has to go out continuously to the field,
mm-hmm.
an enormous amount of information that has to come back from the field that they have to then collate and put into, distributable form.
Sure.
For us facilitators, it plays a relatively minor role.
Uh-huh.
Because, as you can imagine, what we are about is discussion
mm-hmm,
and
sure.
interface at the board meetings and at the subsequent once a month, 1 hour business coaching sessions that I do with each of the board members. It's all about interface and interchange.
Mm-hmm.
So very little is committed to writing at that point in time. When we do go into writing, we are really doing, you know, bullet point abbreviation types of roadmaps. How do I get from here to there?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That
so
makes sense.
Good
yeah.
prose, of which I am a huge fan, good prose doesn't play much of a role. My wife will tell you, like just last night, I was listening to a news broadcast, and the way that this highly accredited, highly paid individual slaughtered the English language and used inappropriate words and used words that had no meaning and words that no dictionary could ever find. She always says, why do you get so worked up about it? I said, because I love the language.
Oh, I wish you all could see what's going on with Angela. I think she's dancing circles right now. She's doing a happy dance.
So I'm.
But that's powerful. You're an advocate of good writing.
I am, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe emphatically. And when I write, now I have to do a lot of emails,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I take a lot of time constructing these emails. And the way I do a presentation, whether it's PowerPoint, whether it's stand up alone in front of a microphone or whether it's put something in writing, I put myself into the position of the audience or the reader who knows nothing about what I'm saying. And then I try to describe it adequately mm-hmm. so that that person can say, oh, yeah, okay, I understand that. Okay, fine, I've got the answer. So I'm a huge fan of good writing.
Great. I need to know how, if people want to contact you, Spencer, how would they do that?
Okay, I have a website, and it's www.tabnwatlanta.com. And all my contact information is on there. But just for the record, I also have an email address, which I'd like to just read out now. It's Spencer at TABNWAtlanta.com.
Okay. Well, I have been anxious to open up the mics and let you each talk to each other and just have a general conversation. Any one of you want to go with a question first?
Well, I don't have a question. Well, maybe a lead into a question, but I did want to say something to Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
I was making a note. You were saying you were a mechanical engineer, had started out as that with that training. And mechanical engineers understand the need to question processes and assumptions. And it seems to me that that skill set has probably transferred quite well to what you're doing now, because you help people to challenge the assumptions that they've made and to help them to clarify their processes. Do you see that that's working?
Yes, absolutely. But I'm going to now make a confession to you that something that has bugged me my whole career. You're absolutely right, Angela, in what you say about, a professional engineer is trained to think through a situation and come up with a logical conclusion,
uh-huh,
and then to act on that. So that's the good side. The bad's not bad, but the disadvantage that I recognize is that engineers like myself, we tend to think in straight lines. And sometimes that is not what is required. And, you know, you've got to take the cliches, lateral thinking, think outside the box, or take a more convoluted route from A to B than just simply a straight line.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've had to work on in my career. But the commercial side of my career now taught me exactly how to do that.
Great. Well, you know, when you talk about that, I have to bring in my two sons. One has a degree in electrical engineering, and he has a master's in aerospace engineering. My older son has a degree in graphic design. My older son with a graphic design degree works as a project design engineer, has not had any engineering courses. Of course, Sean has had engineering courses, mm-hmm, out his ears. What happens is when they talk about each other, Sean says, Joel knows how to make things work. I know why they work. And when they get together and talk, it is just fascinating to watch the conversations go.
Right, right.
I can tell you a little anecdote in that regard with where those two worlds come together. They come together in my 22-year-old granddaughter,
uh-huh,
who is a senior in SCAD,
uh-huh,
okay, doing graphic design.
Mm.
Now, she's an utterly brilliant straight-A student. Okay, she is a gifted artist, absolutely gifted. But throughout her school career, she got straight A's in math and science. And in graphic art, she can do the two sides. And her work SCAD's put her work on display more than once. It's just amazing stuff that she comes up with. But this kid has got both. And
it's fun to watch.
That's unique.
It?
Yeah, it is. It's incredible.
Yeah, you know? I don't know if you can notice it, but Kevin's positioning himself for a question.
Oh, I'm not. I was just going to be like, tell everyone out there that SCAD is a great school, and I've got a bunch of friends that go there. So,
well, for those who are not from the Atlanta area or Savannah, we need to let them know SCAD is the Savannah College of Art and Design, and it is a great school.
It is. All the best graphic designers actually come from SCAD.
So yeah, I've seen it ranked in the top five in the U.S. in graphic design schools, mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. So, if I may just make one more statement about the alternative board for those people that these entrepreneurs, business owners, small, medium size, that would contemplate joining an alternative board. I want to stress that it is not a referral group, and it is not a discussion forum, and it is not a consulting service. It is an alternative board of directors for small and medium-sized businesses, convened and controlled by a TAB-accredited facilitator, in the case of Northwest Atlanta, myself, in which business owners themselves are the board members.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
Board meetings are augmented by individual coaching sessions, which I provide 1 hour a month, which no additional cost.
Mm-hmm.
And also they get access to a range of proprietary products that have been developed to assist business owners to get a broader strategic perspective of their business and implement plans to improve revenue and profits.
And this doesn't have to be startups.
No, absolutely not. No, it can be anything from a startup to a mature business that's been, in fact, a couple of my current board members have been in business for over 20 years.
But it provides an instrument to get help.
Absolutely.
And don't you think that the reason, even if it's a mature business, would need a new infusion of ideas through other people in the marketplace is because business is constantly changing. The landscape of it never stops changing. And if you hang your hat on that one thing that you do and you're unwilling to change, next thing you know, your business is gone.
I totally, totally agree with that. In fact, I would take it just one step further and say that business, all business, has to reinvent itself continuously. And if it doesn't, it will, as Angela has said, simply fall by the wayside. The competitors will eat you alive. Mm-hmm. Now, at the alternative board, you get this input. You get somebody who could possibly be from a graphic design mm-hmm. business, interfacing with somebody who has a major construction company. And I've seen this actually happen, where the construction person is struggling with an issue pertaining to his sales force. And the graphic design, the digital design in this particular case, entrepreneur says, oh, yeah, I had a problem like that a couple of years ago, and this is what I did.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
And the guy sits back and he says, my God, that's the answer. I've been struggling with this for 9 months. This is the answer. So what that reinforces the point. They're all in business, mm-hmm. and they have common issues in doing business, irrespective yeah. of what the specialization is.
Yeah. Well, you had to reinvent yourself continuously, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, definitely. I started out offering writing services, had no idea I was going to be required mm-hmm. to do graphic design. So I go and I find a customer, and he wants me to write this thing for him. Choose. I said, okay, fine. So I brought back all the words on a piece of paper just mm-hmm. there. And he says, well, where's my flyer? I said, I didn't know you wanted a flyer. You just said you wanted the words. This was a huge eye-opening thing. So next thing I know, within 2 years, I had a computer. I was teaching myself graphic design. I was doing bulk mail fulfillment. I had a standalone automotive dealership in Forest Park who got bought out a few years after that by CarMax. And so that went away. But the thing is that I learned a lot during that time. Well, the next thing I know, so I went from just being that little girl that chooses the words to all of a sudden going, oh, crap, I've got to spend some major freaking money here to be able to compete in the mm-hmm. marketplace. Then I will admit to you that I rested on my laurels. There came a point where I thought I didn't have to learn anything else, and I really and truly was busy with the kids. And, you know, and I thought, okay, fine, everything's going good. And I failed to keep up with what my competition was doing. And my lunch got ate big time. Mm. And I lost a client who loved me, absolutely adored me, but I wasn't doing the work. I studied what my competition came in with offering them, and I said, oh, that's not going to happen again. But
good.
I lost that customer, and they still love me. I can walk in the room, and they still love me. This is not a question of they hate me. It's a question of they looked bad mm-hmm. to their superiors because they fell down on their job, and they had to have someone outside come in and show them where I wasn't doing as good a job. But when I approached them, I was doing better than anything they had had before.
Wow.
So that... this is not a good position to be in,
no,
which it is not. And it's humbling. It's actually ego-busting, and it hurt bad.
I'll bet it did.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing, Spencer, that you help or your boards help people with.
Absolutely. And I think the key issue there is that a member of the alternative board is getting feedback, if you like, advice, guidance, comment mm-hmm. from another business owner. Not from a business school guru or a corporate suit, but he's getting it from another business owner. And so it's always in the real world that mm-hmm. they're discussing these issues. And in that regard, I'd like to make just one more statement
sure.
with respect to the alternative board. I said earlier there are currently 250 facilitators and 4,000 board members in the United States. What's interesting about that is, first of all, say that there are no contracts. You join the alternative board, pay your first month's dues, and that's the entire extent of your commitment. If a month later, or 2 months later, 3 months later, you, for whatever reason, you decide it's not for you, you walk away. No contract. Having said that, the alternative board surveys every single year and comes up with a lot of stats with respect to its membership.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a key issue. Currently, in 2012, the average tenure on an alternative board across the country is 3.5 years.
Goodness.
And no contract.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Can you get fired from the board?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If just like any other board of directors, the board can vote you off. If you did something that was really
good.
Offensive,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that the board felt, not me, I don't act as the chairman, I act as the facilitator.
Okay.
The board is in control. And if the board feels that a person is really disruptive,
mm-hmm.
they can vote that person off the board.
That's impressive.
It very rarely happens, very rarely. But it can happen.
But it can happen.
Yeah. Well, so there is accountability. Yeah, there's accountability built into this situation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when a person, a board member, accepts a suggestion mm-hmm. that comes up at the board from whichever board member or from a collective discussion and agrees to act on it,
mm-hmm.
he or she is then obligated to keep the board informed of the progress that he or she is making with the implementation of that.
It's not a case, I'll do that.
Yeah, no. Because if they don't report back, somebody will say, hey, you remember that we discussed this? And after each board meeting, I send out very brief notes as to what everybody was involved in that, mm-hmm. in that discussion. And then, of course, I follow that up in the one-on-one coaching sessions.
That's pretty powerful.
And I use the coaching sessions for one specific purpose, and that is to assist the board member to extract maximum value from his membership on the board.
Great.
And I do not try to teach him or her how to run their business. I do not try to teach any of them or provide consulting services. Now, if they want consulting services from me, that is another negotiation.
But that
is not part of the formal package.
Yeah. And anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, there's a thought that I had because I've been running into this for quite some time. In fact, my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I wanted to do something and someone would say to me, you can't do that. Well, for many, many years, I took them at their word and then just didn't do it.
Whoa.
That's a whole nother psychological issue that I have worked through. But when I started my business,
mm-hmm.
I was told I couldn't do that. And I said, well, it's already done. And I moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I'm running into. Anytime I like to push the boundaries, not because I want to push the boundaries, but because I bump up against them and I go, but that's not where I want to be. I mm-hmm. need to be over there.
Okay.
So when I go to try to push that boundary, whatever that boundary is, or jump over it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing it on behalf of other people or with other people, and I get, you can't do that, then my first question is well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Because there may very well be a really, really good reason that I don't know. And I like to think of myself as a student. I learn constantly. Sitting here listening to him, I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh, I've got so much to learn about this process. It's going to be cool. Talking to you, listening to Kevin. I mean, everybody's got something to offer, and I know that. So I always ask, well, what is it? Why can't I?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most people's response is, well, you just can't. Well, that is not it. No. So then I then take it a step further and say, no, I really, really need some information.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no patience for people. I don't want to do business with those people. It's very difficult to do business with those people. So finally, I just say, just tell me what you want to do and I'll do it. But don't hold me responsible. I refuse to be responsible. You know,
I like that because the worst thing anybody has ever said to me in my life is, you can't do that. My issue with that is everything can be done. It's only a question of what it takes to get it done.
Exactly.
Yes.
Sometimes what it takes is just impractical, just unaffordable, whatever. But nevertheless, everything can be done.
Absolutely.
I'd like to just mention one technique that we use in the alternative board which assists business owners in this regard. and I think it's very cool. We use a technique called strategic business leadership, and it's a whole process, and it's very simple. Again, once again, we're dealing with small business owners. We're not dealing with business school graduates. We ask a business owner to write a personal vision.
Okay.
Now, not a vision, not a vision for the business, but a personal vision.
Okay.
The basic question being, what do you want your business to do for you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's now, a critical difference.
It is. It's a very critical difference, and it's something that in my long career I never came across until I joined the alternative board. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first thing that you do is write your personal vision. And what comes out of it is quite amazing. I mean, some people say, I want to be able to take 5 weeks vacation a year. Another person will say, I want an exit strategy that's going to allow me to sell this business and get out of here in 5 years. Whatever. Okay. Question is, you own a business. You are the business. What do you want that business to do for you personally? First thing. And then immediately after that, we get them to write a vision statement for the business.
So that it can help them get to their personal vision.
Exactly. And from that, strategic planning flows. Am I correct?
Absolutely. That's the very first step in the strategic planning process.
Well, you guys are good. And you know what happened? I warned you this would happen. The clock is on us.
Oh, my.
Happens every time.
Yeah, and welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. And if you'd like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, just let us know. Send us an email at at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Kevin, for handling the controls.
No problem, Dr. Tim. Interesting. Great show as usual.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you to our guests, Angela Durden of Writer for Hire and Spencer Sterling of the Alternative Board. Angela, your contact information one more time.
Go to the website, angeladurden.com, ANGELADURDEN.com.
Okay, and Spencer, your contact information.
Again, on my website, www.tabnwatlanta.com.
Okay, great. Well, Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's spelled W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. Send them an email. Invite them to listen live or to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 Eastern Time at righterightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.